This crazy week of wrestling began with the season premiere of Monday Night Raw from the Talking Stick in Phoenix, Arizona. This is your Sound Off Extra review. I am the Sala Monster. This was a show that started off promisingly enough, and after the first, I'd say, hour or so, fell off a fucking cliff and hit 10 porcupines on the way down before landing ass first on a cactus. What the hell was that ending? If this is what the season premiere of Raw looked like, I'm ready for the series finale. And the thing about it is, it all started out well enough, which is the sad part. I had high hopes. I was optimistic about the changes I was hearing about the set, the pyro coming back. They had a couple of big matches signed. It's like a fresh start from Monday Night Raw. Then you have the draft next week. They may shake the roster up. Maybe we'll get some new faces on the show. Not that it matters, of course, because we've had this wild card rule now for months. So it's not as though the show is going to feel radically different once they actually do shake up the rosters, because they have to first condition everybody that the rosters are exclusive, which they have done a piss-poor job of doing. But I had high hopes going into this show. The new Raw set, they do have a new stage and a new set for Raw. New set looks like something you would skate at the X Games. You know, I like it. It's really not radically different than what we've seen from them the last 20 years. Since Raw became War in 1997. Think about it. Go back to Raw as War when it debuted in 97. You have the ramp. You have the stage. You have the giant Tron. Has the look of the show really changed all that much in 20 years? I mean, the stage is basically gone. You used to have a stage that was 10 feet tall. I guess you have a stage, kind of. It's not as tall as it used to be. The look of the show, really, think about it, has not changed in over 20 years. So I can't say that watching the show tonight, it looks all that different. And so I'm, you know, indifferent to it. I can appreciate them trying to change things up a little bit. Yeah, I'll tell you what's nice. What's nice is to have pyro back. You don't really realize it because they used pyro for so long. But not having any, you kind of notice it after a while. And having it back, especially, you know, for the individual wrestlers, Brock Lesnar comes out, he's got pyro, Becky Lynch comes out, she's got steam. That was nice. It was nice seeing pyro back on the show. As far as the announcers are concerned, Vic Joseph is the new play-by-play voice of Raw, Dio Madden, and Jerry the King Lawler. They are your new Raw announce team. I thought they did fine here in week one. You know, I said on the podcast that I did yesterday, Vic and Dio, they've been working together on 205 Live now for several weeks. But I think as far as them on Raw, you've got to give them the benefit of some time, because this is their first time on the flagship. And it's going to take some time for them to kind of build chemistry together and get in a groove. As far as first night is concerned, I thought Vic Joseph held things together very well. Jerry Lawler did the majority of the talking. Jerry Lawler did the majority of the talking tonight. You can see why Vince McMahon put him there. I can't say that I'm thrilled about that move, but you can see why he would want Lawler on Raw until these guys at least get their feet wet. Dio, I thought Dio was actually very quiet. I felt like I didn't really hear too much of him during the show. I don't know if that's just, again, it could just be a case where he has to get comfortable first in this role. Because he's got, you know, this great personality, and I think he can grow into the role. It's just going to take some time. So I thought the announcing was fine. You know, it was a week one effort. Show itself opened with Pyro and Brock Lesnar murdering a 22-year-old. This is the kind of change that I came for. A fantastic way to open the show. To show everybody that I did not think the entire show was a total waste of time. I thought the show open, unlike the ending, was great. Lawler kept calling Dominic a teenager throughout the entire show. But that is apparently 22 now is considered still a teenager. Rey Mysterio was out for a promo. Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman interrupted. I'm sad to see that Brock shaved his MMA beard. That made me sad. F5 to Rey. And Brock locks eyes with Rey's son Dominic in the front row. And Dominic looks like he has just seen a ghost, as anybody in his position would, and he sits down. He's not about to jump the barricade. He's not about to confront Brock Lesnar because he wants to live. Brock goes outside. He drags him out over the barricade, and he proceeds to beat the ever-loving shit out of this kid. Clearly still very upset over that loss to Dominic's real father at No Way Out all those years ago. I'll say this, you know, Dominic took a whole bunch of bumps here. I think he's got a bright future ahead of him, looking at the way he took some of these bumps. I was going to say, in the way he sold it, it's very possible, though, that the look of pain on his face was actually very real. Maybe that's the case. But I thought he did very, very well. He took an A-plus German suplex from Brock at one point. Brock was throwing him around. He was throwing Ray around, which is not hard to do. And this went on for about 10 straight minutes before somebody finally decided to come out and try to stop this. So Lesnar beats up Pat Buck, and he beats up Fit Finlay. This is the Brock Lesnar that I miss. The Brock Lesnar who murdered Zach Gowen in front of his own mother on SmackDown, and then pushed him down a flight of stairs. That's the Brock Lesnar that I missed. Good heat. I thought there was some good heat here on Brock heading into his match with Kofi Kingston coming up on Friday. Will Rey Mysterio now cost Brock Lesnar the WWE title? Will he cost him the championship against Kofi on Friday? Or does Brock win the title? And then, you know, if Rey were to get drafted next week to SmackDown, that could make for a fun David, you know, against Goliath match between Brock and Rey. It would also send Rey into an early retirement once and for all, but at least it would be a fun match. Later on, Seth Rollins said that he was disturbed by Brock's attack on Dominic. Apparently, he was not disturbed enough to actually intervene and try to come to the rescue. He stayed in the back. Yeah. Very, very concerned was Seth Rollins. We had Sasha Banks against Alexa Bliss. My question is this. How will I know what time it is without Michael Cole screaming that it's boss time when Sasha walks out? Unless Sasha gets drafted to SmackDown. Then we'll be told what time it is every single week. But as of right now, we no longer have to listen to Michael Cole say, it's boss time when Sasha comes to the ring. The Bliss bots and the Sasha stands, as they're called. Again, I hate using that word. But the Bliss bots and the Sasha stands, they have been at each other's throats all week. You saw the video clip here on the channel from yesterday's show. Going over some mean tweets between the two fan bases. This match here, this was like their WrestleMania. I would like to think that the Sasha fans and the Alexa fans can at least be united and agree on this one point. This was a shitty finish. Sasha was begging off. She was acting like Bayley was about to come up from behind. That distracted Alexa long enough for Sasha to kick her in the knee and pin her. She kicked her in the knee and she pinned her. That was underwhelming, to say the least. Becky Lynch was standing on the announce table, taping her fist the entire match. She did come out at the beginning of this. She stood on the table and she was taping her fists the entire time. Match ends. Down to the ring comes Becky. They go at it for a little bit, and Sasha bails. Becky says that Sasha made things personal. She's going to make things painful at Hell in a Cell, which was, I thought that was a good line. I am looking forward to their match on Sunday. I will say, I'm looking for the two Hell in a Cell matches that we know of so far. Rollins and The Fiend, Becky and Sasha. I am looking forward to those two matches at the pay-per-view on Sunday. Even though the pay-per-view almost feels like an afterthought with everything else going on this week. Speaking of which, there was an AEW Dynamite ad sandwiched in here. It may have been local. I don't know if all of you had it where you live in your market, but here in New York, there was an AEW ad, which is smart, you know, to buy out those local ads. I think Impact did the same thing when they went to Monday nights for those few weeks before they were slaughtered. I mean, so this is pretty standard stuff. Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode against Heavy Machinery for the Raw Tag Team titles. Otis wrestled the match shirtless, which prompted Jerry Lawler to compare him to Fat Bastard from Austin Powers. Didn't even take an hour to get a 20-year-old movie reference from Jerry Lawler. Glorious DDT to Tucker, Roode and Ziggler retained their titles. That led us to Miz TV with Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair. It's very nice to see Ric Flair put aside his threats of a lawsuit long enough to return to Raw. Hope you get a good payday out of it. Flair seemed to be in a very bad mood. He was talking about how tired he was of hearing Hogan's theme music for 30 years. They were going in hard here, teasing a match between the two of these guys. They were teasing a match here in 2019 between Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair. And Ric Flair's cardiologist, I'm sure, wherever he was, nearly had a heart attack of his own. And the crowd actually chanted one more match. And they seemed up for it. Which just proves that they're all a bunch of masochists. They don't care about these guys. Hogan can barely walk. Flair almost died twice. But hey, one more match. They said they were just playing around. You know, Flair wasn't really upset with Hogan. They're being buddy-buddy. But then The Miz says, well, it's funny you should bring up this idea of a Hogan versus Flair match because Sweet Saudi Money is coming up. Sweet Saudi Money 4 on Halloween. And as Miz is talking about this and he brings up Saudi Arabia, I legitimately thought they were about to announce one final match between Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair. I mean, I legitimately thought that's where they were heading with this. Because, you know, whatever the Crown Prince wants, the Crown Prince gets. He may request wrestlers who have been dead for 15 years. But if you can't get the real thing, they'll get him a reasonable facsimile. Remember that first Saudi show? Big Battle Royal they had, or the Greatest Royal Rumble, I guess it was. They had that sumo guy, forgot his name already. You know the whole story behind that. They wanted Yokozuna, didn't realize Yokozuna was dead, so they got some other sumo guy. We never saw him again after that. So it's like, it's not really all that far-fetched to think that if they wanted Hogan versus Flair, they would give them Hogan versus Flair. And we are getting a form of Hogan versus Flair in Saudi Arabia. We are getting Team Hogan against Team Flair. 5-on-5. Yes, Survivor Series comes to Saudi Arabia this year. You literally have a Survivor Series pay-per-view, what, 3 weeks later? And they're blowing their load at Sweet Saudi Money 4. No dignity, no doubt. Yeah, it's funny. I was watching on Twitter. Impact Wrestling was trolling WWE on Twitter, reminding everyone of the Team Hogan versus Team Flair match from lockdown. Almost a decade ago, lockdown 2010, we had Team Hogan against Team Flair. When you're being trolled by Impact, that's pretty bad. Hogan brought out Seth Rollins as his team captain. Flair brought out Randy Orton as his team captain. Orton challenged Rollins to a match. King Corbin came down to the ring. It was 2-on-1 until who should make the save? But Rusev. Yes, the Rusev who had been off television for months, came back as part of this stupid storyline involving Maria and her unborn baby, is now running out to make the save for the Universal Champion. And I like Rusev, but this made no sense. And then later on, he challenged Seth Rollins to a Universal Championship match since Rey Mysterio was at the hospital with Eddie Guerrero's son. They had to do a Universal Championship match, and Rusev said, well, I'm throwing down the gauntlet. Seth Rollins, I want to challenge you for the Universal title. And there it was. We had our championship match for the main event. And this hour here is really where this show just slowed to a crawl. We had Anderson and Gallows against the Viking Raiders. Vikings pick up a win. Ivar, I think it was, with the big splash off the top rope. 305 live, according to Dio Madden, as he called it. Ricochet against Cesaro came after Cesaro was backstage speaking ill of Rey Mysterio and his son, and Ricochet took exception, and he issued a challenge. Now, I don't know what the deal is with Cesaro's gear, but he needs to ditch it. I hope that's not a permanent thing, because it don't look good. Ricochet won with Mysterio's West Coast Pop, the old springboard Rana. He was Yeah, it's funny. Mysterio was winning matches with that going back to 95, 96. And it still looks awesome. That finish still looks awesome today when somebody pulls it off. Not too many people can pull it off the way that Ray did. Ricochet is one of the few. So I didn't think it was much of a match. Didn't have a lot of time, but I thought the finish was cool. We had a Firefly Funhouse with Bray Wyatt. And a Ramblin' Rabbit was literally scared to death. I got an email from somebody the other day. Angry email. A legitimately angry email taking me to task for using the word literally as if I don't know what it means. He was just beside himself with rage that I was using this word on my show. So I want to make it a point to make sure that I use the word at least 5 times on my show every week. So this was my big moment here. Ramblin' Rabbit was literally scared to death here in this segment. Ramblin' Rabbit dies more than Raw's 3rd hour. So believe me, he'll be back. AJ Styles and Cedric Alexander for the United States Championship. Good match. Actually, the best match in the entire show. There was a Michinoku driver by Alexander for a near fall. Crowd bought into it big time. Styles countered the lumbar check into a Styles clash for the win. Again, ring-wise, I thought this was the best thing on the entire show. Lacey Evans and Natalya, not the best thing on the entire show. Evans rolled out to the apron. Referee was holding back Natty. And in so doing, Lacey was able to rake the eyes, and she rolled up Natty for the win. This was about as exciting as it sounds. After the match was over, Lacey did the classy thing. She is a classy lady. She classes up the joint. And she did the classy thing by punching Natty in the face. Now, the thing about that, I hope she doesn't have to go on Twitter and issue an apology and explain to everybody that it was all just part of the show. She was playing a part. She's an actor. She's a sports entertainer, because that's the new thing now. When heels do heelish things, people get very upset and they call them out for it and they have to apologize and they have to explain themselves. Because fuck 2019. So now I'm waiting to see if she has to go on Twitter and apologize for punching this woman in the face. This is the world that we live in now. They showed a white limousine arriving backstage before the break. I thought I was watching Raw or Nitro from 99. Actually, watching half the show, I wish I was watching Raw or Nitro from 99. But, you know, you see the white limo, you would expect a big reveal at the end, but you would be wrong. Seth Rollins and Rusev for the United States, it doesn't really matter at this point. Seth Rollins and Rusev for the Universal Championship, or as I call it, the tomato title. Randy Orton and King Corbin stood on stage watching this on commentary. They kept talking about Rusev's marriage. They had a thing in the back earlier where Rusev was cornered by Chuck, I think it was, and she was asking him, where's Lana? That's what everybody wants to know. Where's Lana? And Rusev wouldn't answer. And so the whole show, they're playing this up like their marriage is on the rocks. Just out of nowhere. Apparently they're having marriage problems. No mention was ever made of this before. There's been no mention of Rusev and Lana's marriage until now. No reason to believe anything was wrong. But all of a sudden, it's like they're on the verge of divorce. So they're having a match. Rusev is in control. Bobby Lashley's music hit. That was the big limo reveal, I guess. Bobby Lashley comes out and he motions to the back for somebody to come on down. And it takes forever for this person to come out. They finally hit her music and out comes Lana right into the arms of Lashley. Rusev in the ring is watching this. He just stands there. So Lana and Lashley start kissing. And Rusev just stands there. They kiss some more. Rusev just stands there. She's got her legs wrapped around Lashley like a spider. Her tongue is halfway down the guy's throat. Rusev just stands there. Like he's trying to fart. But he's got that feeling like if he tries too hard, some poo might come out. So he's trying to stand really still. I don't know. I'm trying to make sense of this. I'm trying to come up with an answer to make sense out of this shit, but it is impossible. Because I know if I were standing there, watching my wife swap spit with another guy, I wouldn't just stand there and watch. Maybe Rusev is really into interracial porn. Maybe he's got a fetish. But he looked like a fucking idiot here. And maybe that's the point. I don't know how much time he's got left on his contract. Maybe that's the point. Let's break up Rusev and Lana. Let's make Rusev look like a fucking moron on TV. Let's make him look like an idiot on his way out. Wouldn't surprise me. So the lights go out. Seth Rollins. Yeah, remember him? He's the champ and all. As he hears the Fiend's music, he sees the lights going out. Seth looks terrified. So he tries to deactivate his Twitter again to make the bad people go away. But it didn't work this time. And the Fiend puts the mandible claw on him as the show ends. This sucked. This ending sucked. Almost everything after that first hour, I would say, save for the AJ Cedric match and the finish to Ricochet and Cesaro, was no good. You know, with this main event here, they went for shock value. With the Rusev and the Lana and the Lashley stuff, they went for shock value. For the sake of shock value. And it didn't work. Between this and the Maria Baby Daddy storyline, I'm having serious doubts about this Paul Heyman thing. If this is his idea of turning around this show, if this is his idea of turning things around here on Monday Night Raw, we're in a lot of trouble. AEW on TNT could not come at a better time. Let's check the poll results here so far. You can vote still on Twitter. Poll will be up for a couple days, at Solomonster. Thumbs up, thumbs down. You can let me know what you thought of the show. So far here, poll's been up for about 45 minutes. We've got over 1,600 votes in. 43% thumbs up, 57% thumbs down. So decidedly thumbs down, although I think that should be even higher. I don't think those numbers should be as close as they are. But definitely overall a thumbs down show, according to all of you. Not surprisingly, for all the reasons I just mentioned. Now, coming up this week, there's a lot going on, WWE related and non-WWE related. Here on the channel, all you need to know is that I will be going live after AEW Dynamite on TNT this Wednesday. So the show airs live on TNT, 8, 7 Central. We also found out tonight that, for those of you Canadian listeners out there, they have secured their Canadian TV deal, and AEW will be airing live on TSN in Canada this Wednesday at, I believe, 8 o'clock. So you'll be able to watch the show live, as all of us can here in the U.S., of course. All the folks in the UK, that sound that you hear is them throwing their furniture around at the news. But AEW does debut on Wednesday, and I will be going live here on the channel shortly after they go off the air. Have a review of the show, probably take some phone calls. We'll have a grand old time. So that's on Wednesday. And then, of course, Sunday will be episode 620 of The Sound Off. And Sunday night will be the Hell in a Cell live stream when the pay-per-view goes off the air. SmackDown is debuting on Fox this Friday. We found out earlier this afternoon that The Rock has confirmed he will be in attendance. It only made sense. I mean, the show is named after him. It's his namesake. So The Rock will be on SmackDown this Friday. I, for one, am hoping that we get an in-ring segment between The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin. And yeah, I know it doesn't benefit any of the new guys on the roster. I don't care. I just want to be entertained. How many more times are we going to get to see The Rock and Stone Cold in the same place at the same time, right? Probably never. So, it's not like The Rock needs that sweet Saudi money. So, I don't see anything happening there. So, yeah, it would be kind of cool, I think, to see him and Austin in the ring together, maybe at the same time. For those of you who have Dish Network, there is an ongoing dispute that has resulted in Fox no longer airing on Dish or on Sling. So if you have a subscription to either one of those things, if things don't change between now and Friday, you're out of luck. And you will not be able to watch SmackDown. One option that you can try, and this depends because it's not in every market, but in a lot of markets here in this country, there's a service called Locast, L-O-Cast, You can go to Locast.com. There's an app for it as well. I've heard from a couple of people tell me that they've tried Locast and it works. So unless this dispute is, you know, fixed between now and the end of the week, that may be your only option, depending on where you live, as far as watching SmackDown, so you might want to give that a shot. But as for Wednesday, as I said, AEW, big debut on Wednesday, head-to-head with NXT. After a show like tonight, this just could not come at a better time. This is exactly why I think a lot of people are so interested and so excited about this whole head-to-head battle on Wednesdays. NXT is an outstanding show, more often than not. If AEW can live up to that level of quality, we're in for a treat. But the time for talking is over. All the big words, all the hyperbole, this is it. Do or die. You could talk about a revolution. You could talk about how it's gonna, you're going to change the face of wrestling. Fine, change it. This is it. This is your time. Look at what we had tonight. Bobby Lashley and Lana. Please, save us. Wednesday night. Should be a lot of fun. I'll be here on the channel. I hope you'll join me then. 6:20 this weekend. Until then, take care, guys.